Welcome to the Male Fertility Podcast. It is mailbag time. And today you've got me, Kieran. This should be a good episode. I'm looking forward to this one. We're going to cover topics like time pressures, relationship changes, maybe what changes during fertility treatment, judgment, how to deal with that, and also the things that I wish I'd known before I started my treatment. So yeah, we've got questions along those lines, and I'm looking forward to getting into it. Just before we get started, just a reminder that these mailbags are for you guys, are for our listeners to send in questions, send in comments. So if you wanted to get a hold of us, the easiest way is to via Instagram. You can get a hold of us via our account, which is the Male Fertility Podcast. Pretty simple to remember. But also you can send us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. And there's two ways of sending your questions in if you'd like to. So before we get on with today's show, this is part of today's show, I guess. I just want to highlight a couple of things. Like at the moment, it's very early in the morning. It's around about 5:30 in the morning. And I planned to do this recording yesterday, but it was a very busy day. By the time I kind of sat down to start, I just couldn't get my words out. I was tripping over myself. I kept making little silly mistakes that I usually wouldn't. So I decided to record it this morning. I went to bed, got my head down and started afresh. And basically the reason why I'm saying this is it reminded me a lot of how I felt during my fertility treatment at some points. Like there were moments where I felt I couldn't do what I needed to do and that I was failing. And the lesson that I learned in those times was it's okay just to step back, replan things, take control of those controllables. I could control what I did last night. And that was ultimately taking a deep breath, not getting frustrated with the fact of I couldn't get my words out. So if you're finding yourself in that situation in terms of your treatment, take a breath, process what you need in this moment or in that moment and act accordingly, like I did. So you've got me a little bit sleepy-eyed. I can see my eyes, bags under my eyes if you are watching this on YouTube. But hey, I'm here. I'm feeling refreshed and I'm ready to go. So the first question is, did you ever feel like you were running out of time and how did you deal with the pressures of that? We started on this fertility journey when I was around 26 and so was my wife. So we were quite young, okay? But it took a long time to ultimately get to the end goal initially. It took 5 years for my son to appear. And through that, there was a lot of heartaches. I've talked about it 1,000 times before and I will again. But something that did occur was time passed and you can't help but come aware that time is passing. Did I ever have the thought that I might not be a dad because we could run out of time? Yes, I did. Was it in the forefront of my mind? No, it wasn't because of my age, but I've spoken to so many guys who that does play an important factor in their fertility journey, both for them and their partners. So, what do you need to know? What are the key takeaway points that I can give you now? We covered this in the last mailbag, or I did during my last mailbag, is that male fertility does decline, but it doesn't decline as fast as women's does. Around 40 years old, we start to get a reduction in key hormones like testosterone, which in itself can affect fertility, but it's a gradual decline, around 1% a year. So, just be aware of that. It will decline, but for men, it's not as drastic as their female partners. Secondly, it's completely normal to feel pressure. A fertility journey is incredibly stressful. And when you're dealing with time or your perception of time, it only adds to the pressure. So be aware of it and acknowledge it. Acknowledge the pressure that you're feeling. Because I think a lot of people, what we do is we bury it and don't look into it. If you're approaching 40, or you might be over 40 and thinking about time pressures, don't hide away from it. Acknowledge it and be proactive in the things you can do. We've talked about it once again 1,000 times, but make those lifestyle changes that you can do. And if you've already done them, just stick with them And then you've controlled all the things you can control. People that I speak to that are slightly older and are in their 40s and still trying for a child, they acknowledge the importance of having control of those controllables, those lifestyle factors, because whatever the outcome, they're able to say, I did everything I could. I did everything I could control. So, yeah, fertility in men decreases around 40 years old, but slowly. If you're feeling the pressure, acknowledge it. Don't hide away from it. And three, if you are feeling those pressures, be proactive in what you do to counteract them. Controllables. Hope that helps. Next question. This question comes in from John from Plymouth, and it reads, how did your relationship change during your fertility journey, and what helped you stay connected? I'm going to assume this is the relationship with my wife, and I think this is a really valid and important question, John. And yes, relationships did change. We became less connected. We drifted apart, if I want to put it like that. It was really difficult at moments. You know, I wanted to be there and be everything for my wife, but at the same time, I was struggling with my own identity and I couldn't be there for myself. So naturally, we kind of parted, both physically and mentally. Like, we weren't communicating. We stopped having sex. It became a real struggle. And it wasn't because I didn't love my wife. It was because I was struggling with me. This news that I'd been delivered, I was processing. And you know what? I think the time it took me, it needed to take that time to process it. It wasn't easy. It really wasn't easy on our relationship. And there were times when it could have broken it quite easily. I was really lucky and fortunate that my wife was so supportive and loving. And as she said to me at one point when we sat down to talk about our relationship, she didn't marry me just to have children. She married me for me, which really helped when I heard that those words. It didn't cure it. I know I had a lot of work to do. But when I ultimately said to her, look, you can leave because I can't give you what you really want, and that's children. And she said, what I really want is you. She wants to have children with me. Or wanted to have children with me, but children without me, she didn't want that. And it was an incredibly powerful moment, but our relationship was affected. I think relationships were in general, like, everything changed with everybody, but that was more to do with my reaction to it. But after going through several things, like, me and my wife's relationship is a lot stronger now, a lot stronger. I have a more honest relationship with other members of my family because we had disagreements during those times. And we had to, you know, have it out at some points. And some of that happened after our treatment. Some of that has happened even after my daughter was born, which was 10 years after the beginning of my fertility journey. It won't all happen in sync. It's not some kind of, how can I put it? There's not some magic wand or magic spell you can kind of say to sort everything out. Like, things take time to process, especially when you're dealing with relationships. So yeah, to answer the question, John, yes, it did affect my relationship with my wife, but relationships in general. But these are the things that I kind of took away from it. First thing is that this is my beliefs. Every fertility journey affects the relationship between the couple in some way. Now, when we say affects, it doesn't mean it's a negative effect. I think at points my relationship with my wife was very difficult because I was struggling, she was struggling, and we weren't communicating. But ultimately, it had a really positive effect on us. You know, we're stronger than ever. And yeah, I love her so much, and I can't thank her enough for how she supported me and continues to support me to do things like this. But yeah, I think we have this narrative that we're looking at our relationship. If we're looking at something, infertility, it's got to be a negative effect. No, it can be positive too. And for me, ultimately, when everything was processed and we got through everything, me and my wife have a stronger relationship. So, yeah, number one, every relationship is affected in some way. I think it's up to us whether we make it positive or negative. Two, don't assume that your wife or partner knows how you're feeling, because, you know, they're not mind readers. We're not mind readers. It's important to sit down and have that conversation with them. That is the next point. If you don't have that conversation and be open and honest, which is coming on to my third point about being open and honest during those conversations, you can't pave the way for a successful future. This, your partner, your wife, you should be able to trust and just be your honest self. So you need to do that, especially when it comes to how you're feeling about your fertility and the whole situation. So yeah, they're my three points. My belief is that every relationship is affected, whether that's positive or negative is up to us. It takes time to process to get there, but ultimately we can control that. Two, don't assume that your partner knows what you're thinking. And three, when you do sit down to have those conversations, be open and honest. Hope that helps, buddy.
We want to tell you about Imperil, the unique supplement for conception, which is recommended by fertility specialists for both men and women. We know that poor nutrition is one of the leading causes of infertility, but we are also aware that it's practically impossible to maintain a diet that's perfectly balanced, especially for conception. Choosing the right supplement can be confusing. Many multivitamins contain strong antioxidants, which may actually damage sperm quality. Imperil is made from activated micronutrients, which help every cell within the human body, from the biggest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These micronutrients have been clinically proven to significantly improve live birth rates for men and women who have previously been struggling to get pregnant. You can find out more and hear from couples who have used Imperil by visiting fertilityfamily.co.uk. If you decide this is for you, there's a 10% discount just for our listeners. So make a note of the code MFPodcasts10. That's capital M, capital F, podcast, all in lowercase, 10.
Next question. Did you ever feel judged or looked over by the healthcare system while going through fertility? Now, this is a really interesting question, and I think it depends on how we look at it, maybe. There were definitely times when, yes, I felt like more attention should have been put on me, mainly around my testing. My wife, very early, you know, after a year, we went to the doctors, and very early in that process, they started testing her. But it wasn't until later on they tested me, and there was a lot of empty space, a lot of empty time. Ultimately, they could have tested me alongside her at the same time, and we would have been 6 months further ahead than we were, because they didn't test me until about 6 months later. So many men that we've talked to on the podcast through our, obviously, Nexus fertility community echo the same things. Men are an afterthought. Men are overlooked. It still baffles me why we're nearly 14 years on from my first diagnosis, and things are still going the same way. Men are still reporting the same things. Now, we could get into the deep dive into the reasons why. I don't totally believe this is the right spot to do that, but I think we need to acknowledge it, that frequently men are overlooked. Especially when it comes down to being male factor. And the reason I say that is that, and it's something that still upsets me today, when we were going for our treatment and I had my diagnosis, we received letters, or my wife received letters from the clinic that would say on it, Jennifer Hannington and partner. And it was like, well, that and partner is the reason why we're having this treatment ultimately, because There is the argument that if there was nothing wrong with my fertility, we could have, well, we would have gone down the Clomid route. So my wife would have taken Clomid to get her ovulating before we'd gone into IVF or ICSI. So there was another road of treatment for us if it hadn't have been for me. So I was a really important factor, yet, yeah, I was overlooked. I was overlooked. And at points it was important I was overlooked. Maybe I shouldn't say overlooked. I wasn't the main focus. You know, when my wife was actually going through her stem injections and things, you know, her injections and things like that, I didn't want to be center of attention. It was about my wife preparing her. But even then, maybe it would have been nice for someone just to check in with me. How are you doing? How are you feeling? The acknowledgement that we were there because of my situation would have really helped me. But ultimately, that's what caused me and Sean to start the podcast. The fact that so many men do feel lonely through this, both on a personal account, but also professionally, they feel left out. And then that snowballed into Nexus Fertility, creating that community. That's on another level from the podcast. That's actually about bringing professionals into the conversation. And me and Sean have some massive plans for that. And it's going to be an amazing thing. But it all stems from this question, really. You know, well, did you feel overlooked? Yeah, I did. 100%. And it was tough. The takeaways I take from this is that we have to acknowledge, I think, as a society, the male factor is drastically under-investigated and overlooked. Secondly, as a man, you have to be an advocate for yourself. If you don't ask the questions might not be answered. So you have to be proactive. You have to plan, you know, even before that first meeting with your doctor, that first appointment, you have to plan for it. You can't just go in there blind. And of course, we've got, there's, even in this series of the podcast, Anad Patel's episode, he's a GP, so listen back. He talks about how to prepare yourself and what to expect from that first interaction. And we've also had other people come on and talk about what to expect. So yeah, take a flick back through the episodes. You've got to be an advocate for yourself. And if you can't do, reach out. Reach out. You can join the Nexus community. We'll help and guide you through, at least direct you. And the last thing to take from it is that this needs to be a systematic change to the whole process of the healthcare system for men. And hopefully that will come through the men's health strategy that's closed recently. From our point of view, Nexus, we submitted documents. We submitted stuff from the podcast, our own experiences. It needs to be a systematic change, and hopefully that will come. But the answer to the question is really simply, yes, I did at times feel overlooked by the healthcare system. Interestingly, I think I got a better treatment, better care from my private experience than I did the NHS. And once again, that's a whole completely different conversation. The NHS has a lot of stresses on it, not just fertility. So that's something to bear in mind. But if you're an advocate for yourself and you plan what you want to say, I think there's a lot of power in that. And it's okay to say, I don't agree. You know, you're in more control than you think you are. So I hope that helps. Next question. So this is the last question today. Looking back, what do you wish you had known or someone had told you early in your journey about male fertility? There's so much I wish I'd known. I think the main thing I wish I'd known was I'm not on my own. I generally felt like I was the only guy in the world with a diagnosis of male infertility, and it was so bloody lonely, which ultimately led to how I felt and how I reacted so negatively, which put pressures on my relationship with my wife, put pressures on us financially, put pressures on me and my identity. If I'd known there was other people out there, it would have helped significantly. Like, it would have changed my whole experience. So yeah, that's what I want people to take from this, that you're not on your own and that there is support out there. If you're listening to this, you've found the podcast, which is amazing, and I hope it brings you the support you need, you know, even if it's first stage support. Because something when me and Sean first began planning the podcast, one of the main motivations was is that you can get support and people don't even know you're getting support. You stick your headphones in and you put your phone in your pocket and you listen. We call it like the first stage. It's when you actually acknowledge that you need some support and some guidance. And that's what the podcast is. And then I mentioned it already in this podcast, so I'm not going to go over it too much, but the next stage is the Nexus Fertility community. It's a bigger community and we want to grow it as much as we can to be the big supportive network that people need, both peer-on-peer support and professional support. So if you haven't, or if you're listening to this and you haven't already become a member, please head over to www.nexusfertility.com. You're spelling Nexus as N-E-X-Y-S, fertility.com. Head over there and you become a member, yeah, and get the support you deserve, because you're not on your own. And it's about pushing through the stigma barrier. So the one thing I wish I'd known was I wasn't on my own and that there are people out there to support me. Maybe 14 years ago, there really wasn't, but there is now. So I hope that helps. The stuff that we're putting into Nexus is filling in all the other gaps. Like, I wish I'd known that it takes 72 days or 74 days for sperm to regenerate or to be produced. So then I had a realistic expectation of why I needed 3 months between each sample. Because when I was first told after my first semen analysis that I need 3 months, I was like, well, why? And that wasn't explained to me. Well, you just need to do it in 3 months' time. Now I know it's because I needed 3 months to make sure I had a fresh cycle of sperm, fresh batch. Otherwise, I could end up with the same results if I did it the week after. Ultimately, they came back worse. So it's amazing what stress does to your body. But things like that, like there's loads of little things that I wish I'd known. And maybe I need to do a whole episode like this, just things I wish I'd known. We'll do that next time. So my next episode will be about all the little things I wish I'd known during my treatment. So that's all the questions done for today. If you would like to get in contact, as I said at the beginning of our show, please contact us via Instagram. Nice and simple, The Male Fertility Podcast, or send it in by email, which is themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. We're also on YouTube now, so please head over there and subscribe and spread the word. The more people we get this out to, the more men we can help. And that's truly all we want to do. No one should feel like they're alone in this very challenging journey. There you go. I think I've gone the whole episode without saying it. I've just said it. Anyway, until next time, take care. Thanks for listening. If you found value in today's conversation, please follow the show and share with someone who might benefit.